Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Debrief. I'm your host, Luis, and today we're going to be talking about the product responder role here at Incident.io. So one of the things that we like to emphasize is our ability to deliver at pace, and the product responder role plays a key part in allowing us to do just that. It's a way for us to support the needs of our customers and our product faster, which in turn leads to happier people across the board. In this conversation, I sit down with Sam, a product engineer here at Incident.io, to talk about this role. And thankfully for me, he actually just wrapped up a week as a product responder. He talks about the origins of the role, what it allows us to do, and he walks through his week as a product responder to shed some light on how it works here at Incident.io. I think you'll find this conversation really insightful, so let's get right into it. Here's my conversation with Sam. So let's just dive right in. What is a product responder here at Incident?
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Yes.
I think, so there's maybe about 20 engineers here at Incident.io now, and I think most of us have seen something that kind of resembles product responder in most of our jobs. I think the main way I think about it is that it's one of the ways that we set ourselves up to make our products like really great. It's essentially a kind of team of people who are dedicated to shipping things for our customers and doing that really quickly, whether that is small features that customers have asked us for or bugs that come up day to day that people report to us or leading incidents here. It's really a team of people who are designed to be interruptible and who are equipped to readily react to anything that crops up day to day. We kind of work really closely with our customer success and sales teams. This is one thing that I think sets us apart from where I've seen this in other places, is that we will occasionally ship things for customers that are talking to us as part of the sales cycle to give them a bit of a flavor of what it is like to work with us, which is very collaborative. Engineering team works super closely with our customers and our prospects as well. So we love showing people just how quickly we can respond to things and show them what kind of our attitude to building a product and then to shipping things is.
Gotcha. So it seems like this role carries quite a bit of responsibility. So curious, how exactly does the product responder team come together?
Yeah, we kind of work in a weekly planning cycle here. So every week we have all of the teams get together and work out what are our goals going to be for the next week. Often we will have projects that are spanning multiple weeks and more than one project running up once within a team. Part of that conversation that happens in every team each week is who is going to be our product responder. So it's not a role that certain person or set of people have week in, week out. It is a thing that rotates around. And I think there's a couple of really nice things that you get out of having that. So something that has changed quite a lot in the past year since I've been at Incident.io is that we've grown from just being one engineering team into being four. That means that there are certain corners of the product that I don't get to see as often as I used to. And it means there are people on other teams that I don't get to kind of work and collaborate with as often as I might like to. Product responder, because it's made up of one or two people from each of those four teams, and because it rotates around every week or so, it's just a really nice way to get to work with others and strengthen those relationships between teams, but also to improve the knowledge of all engineers, really, of getting them to see other corners of our products or other bits of the code base. And I think regularly doing your time on Product Responder is a really nice way of cross-pollinating ideas, relationships, things like that.
Was the product responder role something that has existed since the inception of Incident.io, or what is it a more recent thing? Was it a response to something, or like I said, was it always intended?
Yeah, I had to go and ask a few other people about this question, because obviously Incident.io predates me. Like I said before, I think most of us here had seen something resembling this product responder role in previous jobs, and not just seen the role, as it were, but seen the benefits that that can bring. I think the reason that it was introduced here really early on was that we've always had this really direct connection to our users. And part of that is that we have shared Slack channels with so many of those users. And it's interesting to think about the product engineer role that we have here. Like every engineer is a product engineer. So not only are you in a situation where you're talking to and seeing customers all of the time, but we're all here to be immersed in the product and to have opinions about that and have a say in the direction that things go in. So really early on, we had this situation, I think, where you might have threads with customers where there were 2, 3, 4 engineers all helping out the same person with the same problem. It's great that people want to be like so involved, but that's also a slightly jarring and confusing for customers because they don't know exactly who they're talking to or being passed around, and they're having their problems solved really well. So that's one reason, is that I think if you start to formalize that role of, hey, you are the group of people who are designed to be reacting to this work that comes in from customers. There's also an opposite problem to that, which is sometimes you might be in a phase where I think the kind of three earliest engineers that were here might all just be heads down on a week-long project and not be in a mode where they are kind of, they have the kind of headspace or the time to respond to customers. I think the reason that this role was introduced was to fix both of those extremes and to give someone that dedicated time and space to be like, hey, you are the person that's responsible for triaging and actioning all of this reactive work that crops up during the week. The kind of other benefit that that brings, especially I think that I've seen in the past sort of 6 months, is that you're kind of also acting as a shield for other engineering teams and other projects that, you know, I'm not working on Product Responder this week, but I know that we've got a great team of people who are covering that. So I don't need to worry about, hey, what's happening with this if something goes wrong or if there's a bug that crops up. It allows me that focus really to be fully dedicated to the project that I'm on, rather than having to split my time 80% on the project and 20% answering threads or fixing bugs that crop up, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And tell me that I'm wrong, but Product Responder sounds a lot like being on call. Tell me why that's not the case.
Yeah, sure. It's a bit of a blurred line in that.
Yeah.
The way that we structure our on call is that somebody from Product Responder will take the pager during office hours. And that's
sure
very separate from the people who are covering evenings, overnight, weekends, early mornings. Somebody from Product Responder will pick that up. So there is a bit of like a blurring of the lines there. But if you think of on call as responding to alerts when things go wrong, that yeah. is a part of what Product Responder do. And they will be triaging those incidents as they come in during the day. But there's more to it than that. So Product Responder also just work from a backlog of tickets that we have that have either come from other engineering teams or from our customer success team. So our customer success team will log a ticket and say, hey, I was on a call with this customer and they realized that the copy on this button was wrong, or they found this particular feature slightly misleading. Is there anything we can do? And then the Product Responder team will be responsible for working together to prioritize those things and work out where they should be focusing their attention.
Sure.
So there is some overlap between on-call and Product Responder, but the focus of on-call is far narrower. You're getting paged when something goes wrong behind the scenes and like reacting to that. Often, if we get paged, if the person on-call gets paged for something overnight, and maybe it's just like a very minor thing that doesn't need to be handled out of hours, they will, in the morning, hand that over to the Product Responder team and say like, hey, could you see this incident through to like closure and deal with any of the actions or follow-ups that come out of that?
Gotcha. Earlier, you mentioned benefits to being a Product Responder, and you sort of alluded to a lot of those benefits throughout this conversation so far, but I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the main benefit that I see is that it shortens our reaction time to things. That's quite a generic hand-wavy thing to say, so I dig into that a bit. I think it provides us with a dedicated group of people who exist to bring delight to our customers. And that delight can look like a lot of different things, right? It might be that somebody wasn't able to export a postmortem for some reason, and they just got stuck and couldn't do that, which isn't a great experience for them. We have our monitoring and alerting set up in such a way that when that happens, one of us gets notified, someone will get paged, and kind of puts us in a really interesting position where we notice things sometimes more quickly or at the same time as a customer notices things. Yeah. So that reaction time in terms of detecting something going wrong is already pretty fast for us. And then Product Responder gives us that capacity or the people or the team that we need to be able to go and fix that thing really quickly. So we will see that something went wrong and we will be like, oh, that's not great. Let's make that ticket that came in high priority. And when you've got 3-4 people dedicated to that, that is going to get picked up within hours and fixed, if not faster than that. Because the stack rank of priorities we have is that incidents are always more important than the high priority things in our ticketing systems. You will often just get reactions to things much more quickly than that. By having this dedicated team of people there ready to pounce on this backlog of things or anything that comes up, it just reduces our reaction time. Something I find really interesting is a lot of our customers are kind of engineering teams as well, and I get a kick out of shipping things super quickly for them and them turning around and being like, that was fast.
Yeah.
You're like, cool, I'm going to just go and pat myself on the back now.
And that's actually something that I see quite a bit. Obviously, we have these shared Slack channels with customers and we have, you know, compliments channels. And that's one thing that I see time and time again is customers saying, wow, like you guys move so fast. I remember having a case study call with, I'm forgetting who right now, but I do remember that one of the parts of the conversation was around like challenges with adopting Incident IO, just like out of curiosity. And they said, there's no challenges with the product. The challenge that we've had is like keeping pace with the pace, which I thought was a really funny call out. But anyway, total sidebar.
I think we've all had those conversations. You know, you're using like an app or a website or something and you see something that is clearly broken or not working and you send them an email or you jump on chat to be like, hey, I had some trouble doing this, or hey, I got an error while I was trying to do this, and you get a lovely response back from somebody in their customer support team that's like, oh, hey, I've logged that for you. Thanks for letting us know. We have that, but then it's very rare that, you know, a couple of hours later, an engineer is replying to you saying, oh, hey, I'm sorry you had trouble. Like, we just fixed that for you. I think that really sets us apart. And although our customers don't see that we have this kind of product responder team, they feel that presence, right? They see that they report a thing and the thing gets fixed. That's just a really nice relationship to have on both sides, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So what if I said tomorrow, product responder is not a thing anymore? We're done with it. Do you think the impact would be severe? Like, I just wonder what you imagine life after product responder to be like at Incident.
So I think the thing that doesn't change is that workload is still there, right? There are still customers out there with queries, or there are still the inevitable, unavoidable bugs that we ship in our code. That workload doesn't change if you remove this role. And so I think if you were to scrap this, the first thing that would change is the shape of everyone's day would shift a little. So now I would have to spend a certain portion of my day keeping an eye out for like, oh, are things going wrong? Or I think another really interesting thing would be like, if customer success come across somebody reporting a problem, or one of our support engineers come across somebody like who's hit an error, they would not immediately know where to go. And they might go and tap an engineer on the shoulder if they're in the office. They might DM somebody that they have a good relationship with. Part of having product responder is it makes that escalation path really clear for people. That's one of the things that would change, right? Is that suddenly everyone's day is a little bit more interrupted. The speed at which the projects we're running would slow down a bit as people are having their focus split. But yeah, you're not changing that amount of work to do. I think you're just kind of communication would get harder. other things would slow down. And I think there are always, I don't know, I'm a helper to a fault, which means that I'm always happy to go and jump in on the things. And it means that I'm tabbing through dozens of Slack channels all the time. And I think that workload wouldn't get evenly distributed amongst the team. There would be some people who've got there that are a bit more heads down at that time and aren't focusing on the things. So I think that workload just gets slightly unevenly distributed.
I mean, it does seem like it would have a pretty significant impact if you're talking about removing people who are dedicated to responding to issues that customers are having in that moment. And once you remove that from the equation, those customers are now, instead of maybe waiting an hour for a resolution, maybe they're waiting 3 hours, maybe they're waiting 7 hours, maybe they're waiting 2 days. And then that really high bar that you set with your customers of like being able to respond very quickly to these issues that they're having, now that trust starts going out the window. It's like, okay, I'm used to having my queries responded to and these issues fixed within an hour. And now it's like 3 days. What's going on? Maybe I'm going to look for someone else who can respond to these queries a lot faster and turn these things around a lot faster. So
yeah,
it seems like to me, based on everything that you said, the product responder is actually really, really, really crucial to what we do here and provides a lot of structure. And sort of gives us that upper hand, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think once you start to let that slide a bit, then
yeah,
it's really, really hard to get back from that point as well.
Yeah, 100%. So we've talked a lot about what product responders do. I'm curious if there's any sort of preparation that people who know that they're going to be on product responder, let's say next week, are they doing anything this week in the lead up to that? Or is it just a matter of like, hey, you know you're on product responder, you know what you got to do, just go do it.
Yeah, one of the nice things about product responder, at least as we've structured it, is that you don't really need to do any preparation. Product responder will always have somebody nominated as the lead. So they will be responsible for shepherding the whole team, making sure that they know slightly in advance who's going to be on the team, and also running the rituals that we have, so stand-ups and things like this. But no, there's no special preparation that you need to do really, other than knowing that that's what you're doing for the week or for a few days. That's really nice because it gives us this ability to scale up and scale down as we need to. So if there is a particularly busy period or if our backlog's looking a bit long, then we might, when a project on a team ends, redirect a couple of people to just go and give a bit of extra firepower for a couple of days. So no week-to-week preparation, but there is some preparation that we do when product engineers first join the company. And we structure that in a 3-week onboarding period. So that's not the first 3 weeks that you have at Incident IO. It's the first 3 weeks that you do product responder. In the first week, your focus is on just shipping small things for customers and like getting used to talking to them and getting used to just delivering small but nice bits of like functionality or bug fixes to them. And that's really to just give you an introduction to what product responder feels like. In the second week, we start preparing you to lead product responder. So that might be that you're holding the pager during the day, which I think is like slightly daunting, but like well-supported prospects. You will be learning how to triage things, how to decide whether that incident is a thing to be fixed now or whether it's a thing that you can turn into a ticket and fix a bit later. Also, when you're holding the pager, you're also, as an engineer, becoming a bit more familiar with like our stack and how to go about debugging things. And then in your third week, you'll be the person leading product responder. So that's running rituals. You're making sure you know who is doing what. One really important thing is that you're asking for more help if you need it. So
yeah,
if there's a lot of high priority stuff that's come in, say there's 3 things we need to fix urgently, but there's only 2 of you on product responder at that point, then you're going to need to be like, hey, I could use some help. And that we've got like a network of our tech leads and engineering managers here that are the ones that you go to say, hey, can we spare someone from somewhere because we've got these 3 things going on? That's the 3-week onboarding process that we have. And then you're up and running and ready to do product responder whenever it's needed.
Yeah, I guess it's a smart thing that we add that sort of buffer period as opposed to just like throwing someone off the deep end and expecting that they swim. So that's really smart. I'm really curious, do you remember what your first 3 weeks were like as a product responder?
My first few weeks at the company, it was just like, yeah, this pattern of talk to customers. And you're like, okay, do you mean me? No, I only joined this week. I mean you. I think that aspect can be daunting at first, but it's just like incredibly well supported here. And it happens so frequently that I jumped on a call with a customer and they would also be used to having engineers from Incident.io talk to them. So it was like nothing new for them. I think particularly with incident management, we often find ourselves as a company talking to kindred spirits, when that's like incident management teams at other companies or people who are responsible for improving their incident management process, that you have this really nice vibe between the two groups and we're on that kind of shared mission to make things better. I think the thing that is tricky with product responder, and I think this is true of when I've seen it in previous companies, is knowing how to spend that limited resource of time that you have effectively. So making sure that you're working on the highest impact thing and making sure that you're not spending too long disappearing down the rabbit hole. Yeah. I think that's where it's really nice having the team of you together rather than it being a solo effort, is that it's quite easy to nudge the others and be like, hey, how are you getting on? Can I help you? Do you think you're spending too much time on that? Or can I help this go faster in any way?
And I think this is like really relevant to the conversation that we're having today. But one of the things that I've learned is that it seems like here, the engineers speak to customers a lot more than they would anywhere else. And just wondering if you could speak to that, whether that's true, like in your experience. We didn't speak much about like your background, but in your experience, do you think you're speaking to customers a lot more during your year here than you did at previous roles?
Yeah, I definitely am. Like I've done a lot of kind of B2C stuff before where the number of users that we have was orders of magnitude bigger than what we have here. And so you're operating in this world where the feedback that you do see from your users is maybe a more aggregated or curated view of what people are saying. Something that I really love about B2B in general, but also specifically about Incident, is that if we're building a certain feature or if we are fixing a bug, it's fairly easy for me to just pull together a list of like exactly who is going to be interested in that thing. Or if I think about incidents we've had in the past that have involved some level of communication to customers to let them know, hey, you were affected by this thing, there's something that feels far more direct about that relationship where we can go and see everyone who was affected by a thing or everyone who asked for a certain feature or who hit a certain bug, and we can go and tell them. Often that will be someone that we've spoken to before, and it'll be like, hey, so-and-so, sorry, I saw you hit this problem, but I've just gone and fixed it. And they're like, cool, thanks. See you next time.
Getting back to the product responder, I'm really curious. Could you walk me through a typical week as a product responder? Obviously, I know that these things change from time to time, or not from time to time, every week, but what did your last week as a product responder look like? Because I believe you were on product responder last week or 2 weeks ago. Yeah, there you go. So what did that look like?
Yeah, it's interesting because we've shifted it. We've changed it slightly recently as well.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And Monday would be a bit of a kickoff to be like, hey, who have we got this week? Who might be joining us a bit later in the week? Did anything happen over the weekend? Are there any pages that came in? Are there any incidents that are still open that we need to like see through to closing off? Most importantly, I think, is like asking, who have we got this week and how do we feel about that? So do we think we maybe need more people? And that's a question that the product responder lead should always be asking themselves, is like, are we like staffed in the right way? Are we setting ourselves up for success, or are we going to be building up a backlog? That is something that we make a conscious decision of sometimes, where we're like, okay, we know we're going to be slightly understaffed this week, and that's okay because there's projects XYZ going on, or there are people on holiday or things like that. That's the kind of Monday morning kickoff. And then I spoke about the change before. We used to have Monday, Wednesday, Friday kind of stand-ups. We shifted that recently to just like having a stand-up every day, even if that is just huddled around the desk for 5 minutes to be like, hey, what's going on? Those yeah. stand-ups on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are good check-ins because we always involve customer success. And it's always nice to have them there to maintain that like healthy relationship, strong connection between customer success and product responder. And then something that has been really, really useful recently is to just have a wrap-up on Friday that's like, how did it go? And that will be the space where we discuss how we could improve product responder. Good example recently was we didn't achieve, I think, as much as we wanted to or expected to in a certain week. And we had this conversation about, oh, we found that like people had other commitments in their days. So that was really nice. The kind of wrap up is open, not just to the people that were involved in product responder, but like engineering managers and tech leads come to that as well. So we can say, okay, could you just nudge people down to do product responder to make sure that they are focusing their time correctly rather than being pulled back into projects that they were on or things like that. So yeah, we found it really useful to have that Friday as a chance to like reflect and improve. And it's just a kind of half hour meeting where we wrap up, write up some notes. There's a bit of structure as to what we discuss. And that's one of the most valuable half hours that we can have as product responder, because you can improve the process itself. And that then has this amplifying effect for others and for the amount of work that we can churn through.
Yeah. So I want you to do a little bit of reflection right now. Think back to your first time as a product responder, your first week as a product responder, and your most recent week as a product responder. What are some things that you think you did most recently that you didn't do during that first week that you think sort of improved the way that you managed the product responder role?
Yeah, something that I see a real difference in of how I tackle the work over the past year or so is like nowadays I'm looking at the bigger picture. So taking a step back, and rather than being like next ticket, next ticket, next ticket, to try and spot any themes in there, to maybe tackle some of those things together. Maybe there's a few things that relate to our Jira integration and we want to tackle those together. Or maybe there are a few things coming in that all related to a feature we just shipped, and maybe we want to package those together and go and talk to the tech leader, the product manager of that team, to be like, hey, do you think you would pick this chunk of things together up as a fast follow afterwards of things that your team might want to ship? Product responder doesn't just exist to do all of that work. There are some elements of it that are like redirecting that work and triaging that to like other teams or feeding it into future projects. So yeah, the thing that's shifted for me for sure over the past year is taking that time to step back and see the bigger picture of the backlog to work out, is there any more efficient way to process these? Sometimes that like means sidestepping prioritization a little bit. You're like, oh, I'm going to pick up this medium thing and this low thing because I can get them done quickly and it would be good to just have them out of the way. But that's when it becomes the point where product responder is like, not just a science, like there's an art to it as well.